Well, you have been doing this for a long time, more than 25 years now. Do you still think of yourself primarily as a problem solver?
Yeah, very much so. I think if you're doing something for 25 years, you've got to have a common thread that gets you up in the morning. And, I think solving problems, I think through the lens of technology is what I'm excited about because, you can do so much more than you could do as an individual person.
So much discussion about AI these days. What's the biggest problem posed by AI?
Well, I think you can talk about it at many different levels. Probably the most relevant one right now, of course, is a cybersecurity challenge posed by AI. But I think in every industry, we're just seeing an enormous amount of automation, right? And I mean, I've worked in technology my entire life, but I'm usually most focused on the kinds of problems that technology can solve for human beings. And we're at that point now where technology is starting to replace a lot of what human beings can do. And I kind of worry about the societal impact of that. Over the long term. But I think in the really short term, clearly AI is making it really, really easy for bad guys to start to launch attacks at scale against the general public and, the institutions that are beloved to many of us. And I see that as a real sort of now and present problem.
I read something you said in regard to that that I found very interesting. When it comes to bad guys, that they're becoming less interested in focusing on machines, but in attacking the people behind the machines.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very interesting and in some ways pretty obvious trend. If you think about it, we've spent the last 20 or so years hardening our machines on the internet. What's happened as a result is, what's left of the human beings. And roughly at around the same time, AI's come along and made it really easy for machines to understand us as people, or at least appear to understand us as people. They can, clearly create images and text and messaging that most human beings would resonate with. And now that's become something that bad guys can industrialize on. They can create these big machine farms where they do these attacks and impersonations at scale and then use that for some sort of economic benefit of their own.
Now, you specialize in cybersecurity. How can AI help and be on the side of the good guys when it comes to that?
Yeah, exactly that. So there's this interesting asymmetry. For a long time, machines have actually been quite blind to the things we as human beings really care about. So understanding, what we're writing, recognizing a logo, those types of things have actually been hard machine problems prior to today. They're actually pretty easy machine problems now. So, at scale, we can employ the same technologies that the bad actors do, and we can use that to effectively sift through and help protect organization and individuals at scale in a way that wasn't possible. You can imagine banks and banks of machines looking at websites, reading messages on behalf of human beings to understand if there's something nefarious going on. That's what I'm excited about in the short term.
And I had a doctor tell me recently that he loves to see what AI is able to do when it comes to diagnosing illnesses. And he's been impressed so far with the ability of AI to accurately diagnose things.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time. I think people get a little bit caught up on the fact that a machine can never replace a human being. But if you think about that doctor, I'm sure that doctor is absolutely excellent, but there are many parts of the world where normal people would not have access to that individual. So if you have an AI that's 80% good, 90% good as a super specialist, highly trained and very skilled individual, that allows those sorts of services to become a hell of a lot more available to people, and that's very exciting for me.
Now, as we become a more isolated and more politicized and more polarized when it comes to our politics, people are certainly concerned about the ability of AI to, well, at least confuse reality. How do we counteract that when AI is used to try and change public opinion?
Yeah, so that sort of at scale weaponization of AI is admittedly a hard problem. I don't think there are any magic bullets for that yet. And, unfortunately, I think the problem's likely to get worse in the short term as this becomes more and more accessible. One data point fairly recently was that, almost 50% of messages that are sent over email are in some ways fraud or fraudulent. And the majority of those have some sort of, AI generation behind it. That's likely to continue in the short term. I think it's more important than ever for individuals to be more aware of the world around them and not take things at face value because it's so easy to create content today.
Well, and you mentioned the individual, and I feel like it's incumbent on everybody that has technology to have at least a basic understanding of how it all works. But I think one of the reasons the bad actors are able to be successful is because so many people are willfully ignorant of what's out there. How do we better educate people to understand just some of the basic attempts at fraud that I would think the average person should be able to spot right away?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's lots of great guidance and training when you go out and look. The other thing that I'm encouraging everyone around me to really invest some time and energy in is actually poking at AI today. I think people are genuinely quite surprised at what AI can do, and they've never really looked themselves. So there are lots of free AI tools that are available out there. I encourage individuals to actually go and poke at them, understand what's actually really easy to do today. That'll help them get an understanding of what the art of the possible is.
Well, I work in public education, and as is often the case with technology, a lot of times our students are much more savvy when it comes to understanding AI than teachers are. But I've also talked to some fellow teachers and administrators who happily use AI. I had a school principal tell me that she uses ChatGPT to just help her out when she's sending out letters to parents. And she said, ultimately, it's my writing, but sometimes AI will give me some better ideas and a better approach than I had thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a young son myself. So she's growing up in a world that's predominantly AI assisted. And as you would imagine, I'm encouraging him to get to grips with the tooling and understand how it can be helpful to him. At its best, AI can take a lot of the drudgery out of the day-to-day that we have to do so that we as human beings can focus on what's truly unique and engaging for us. And that's very much the world that he's going to be living in. It's the reality for many of us today. I would encourage him to really, you know, don't avoid it. It's coming for you, whether you like it or not. Might as well embrace it and make the most of it.
And certainly there will be, already is, an impact on the job market out there. And when it comes to working in education, sometimes I feel like we're training students for jobs that don't exist yet, or perhaps for jobs that won't exist later on. How do we, as educators and as parents, change our approach to make sure that our young people are able to adapt to this new world?
I think you said it. I think adaptability is the key. I don't think anyone today really knows what the future holds, especially for knowledge work, which most of us are involved in some way or form. The key is making sure that we equip certainly the next generation to be very adaptable to the world that's changing around them. I'm entirely convinced the next 20 years is probably going to be one of the most transformative in human history. And so we want individuals who are able to adapt to this change in real time and focus on the things that, you know, really only they can do. Everyone talks about AI, but, you know, AI today doesn't have any agency. Its creativity is a certain type of regurgitation. So I think for people who have real skills and real expertise that they can leverage, AI can be a massive force multiplier, and that's what we should focus on.
Just a couple of nuts and bolts questions. Why does AI use such a massive amount of electrical power?
Well, there's a very detailed answer to that, but I don't think that would fit into a very short interview. I think a simple way of thinking about it is, if we can think about, you know, our own brains, AI in many ways, as we talk about it today, tries to mimic what's inside our heads, and our heads is full of trillions and trillions of these interconnected neurons. And so what we're doing is, in a very crude way, we're trying to emulate that when we make AI. And so what that involves these very, very power hungry, very large processors that try and simulate all of these trillions of connections. And when you try and move data around like that, frankly, it sucks a lot of power. So it's the reason why, you know, we're looking at new power stations and grid level infrastructure to support this knowledge work of the future.
And how real is the fear that some people have of a loss of control of AI by the creators?
That's a very good question. I mean, one of the big secrets is that we don't fully understand why AI works. And that is a source of some concern, as you would imagine, in the market. Now, that being said, it's not as if we have no idea. And there are lots of organizations, people who actually build these foundational systems, who are investing a lot of energy in trying to figure that out. But I think one of the concerns is that because we don't fully understand it, perhaps we're not fully in control of it. There are two schools of thought on whether the AI that we're working with today, the ChatGPTs and the Anthropics of today, will actually turn into these super intelligences of the future. It's not entirely clear that that's the case, but if that were to happen, then clearly we'd want to have a better understanding of how these things are actually working by the time they actually start to replace us.
Now, I've seen some people say that they believe AI poses an extinction-level threat to humans. How would that threat manifest itself?
Well, to some extent, AI today is a brain in the box, as you would imagine. It just sort of sits there. You poke it with questions, and it gives you answers and does tasks for you. But the value and the utility of that is enormous. And so what we're doing collectively is we're connecting that AI to the systems, to the banking systems, to some extent, probably the defense systems of our countries. And you can imagine that, without making it too much of a sort of Skynet story, clearly there's a direction that we're heading towards, and there's value in us doing that because of the utility it provides. One can imagine that if we, totally lost control of it, we had no idea what it was doing, and it became far more intelligent than we'd realized, then it could start to do things that were perhaps against our design goals or on our understanding of its objectives. And those sorts of things could clearly snowball quickly out of control. I do think that that's quite unrealistic. It's a great plot line for a movie. I don't think that's where we are, and I don't think that's where we're likely to end up. But that is a possibility if we have absolutely no idea what we're doing, or if the people have put no guardrails in place. I don't think that's realistic.
I'm old enough that my immediate response is to flash back to 2001, A Space Odyssey. Sorry, Dave, I can't do that. Hal, please. So for the average person from a cybersecurity perspective, what do you see as the biggest threat to individuals right now?
I think one of the big thing that's happening is there's an enormous amount of impersonation and fraud that's going on out on the internet, and this affects both sides of the equation. It affects the individuals because they're the ones who are likely to suffer, some sort of immediate financial loss, lose access to their systems, or they have their credentials stolen, and then other attacks be launched against them. It's actually in some ways much worse for the organizations that are at the other end of this impersonation because they have, loss of access to systems. There are many examples, even in the last 6 months, where there's been big business continuity issues because of attacks that were carried out against these types of organizations. I think we're seeing a world where organizations are starting to realize that they're all digital. Even if they're bricks and mortar organizations that have been quite digital, they have an enormous amount of reliance on their systems. They connect to their customers over the internet in some way or form, and they have supply chains that are very exposed to these cyber threats. So every organization is digital, and we're starting to see organizations kind of realize that for the first time, that it's incredibly important that their digital infrastructure is as secure as their physical infrastructure. And so we're seeing this uptick in investment in this digital infrastructure to help protect themselves and their customers and the supply chain from these attacks.
Can you talk a little bit about what your company, RedShift, does?
So at RedShift, as you'd imagine, we focus on exactly that. We focus on helping large, sophisticated organizations in the States and across the world get better management of their attack surface, the sorts of things that bad guys pull on to try and impersonate them or enact fraud in some way or form. We help harden those attack surfaces from these attacks that are happening in the wild, keeping their supply chain, keeping their organization, and most importantly, keeping their customers safe from these types of impersonation attacks.
And is it safe to say that everybody from the individual to the owner of a company would certainly be better served to have a greater understanding of artificial intelligence and to be able to know how it can work for good, but also to protect yourself from those bad actors out there?
Yeah, absolutely. In a rapidly evolving landscape with the bad guys out there actually weaponizing these technologies, I think it's important to stay pace with what's happening in the market today. So what are the attacks that are going out there? How are they being weaponized? And what is the risk of not doing anything?
Well, it's a fascinating subject, and we appreciate you making the time to talk with us. Thanks so much for your insight today.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me on.